Before you listen to today's episode, I'm being featured on Spotify. They want me to curate more content for you all. I've created a playlist of all the Friday Training episodes. Whether it's your first time listening to the Friday Training episodes, or you've heard them all in the past and want to go back and learn more, I've linked this playlist in the description of today's episode. So make sure you go like the playlist and follow me on Spotify. Today's episode is another edition of our Road to Revenue series. This episode is focusing in on closing more deals and, of course, making more money, helping more people, and having more fun. I'll discuss how to stimulate the interest of a prospect and six steps every salesperson needs to follow. And most importantly, why 80% of a sale is actually collecting. Tweet me at David Meltzer your favorite takeaway and ask me questions live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to join my text community, 949-298-2905, or you can always email me at david@dmeltzer.com. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook. All right. Welcome, everybody. It is Friday Training, my favorite training, and it's going to be how to close the deal. I'm sure all of us are great openers, but we want to be closers. And I'm going to teach you all the aspects of closing from the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious qualities necessary to close. The best thing about closing is that's where we make more money, help more people, and have more fun. A deal is not a deal until it is closed, and maybe even far beyond that, as you learn to sell through people, not to people or for people. And that's where we're going to start out, is understanding that there's three worlds in closing. The first world is the scarcest world of not enough. And that is not the world to close in. It's a great world to prospect in. It's a great world to stimulate interest in. When you have that scarce feeling that there's not enough, you're not going to hit your number, you're not going to hit your quarter, you're not going to end the month, you're not going to pay your bills, that's going to motivate you, but it's not going to close the deal for you. In fact, it's going to create interference, void, shortages, obstacles to the close. And so you need to recognize what world you're in according to what stage of the sale you're in order to maximize the opportunity of efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success in closing a deal. The second world is the world of just for you. And a lot of people take this position of overselling, lying, manipulating, cheating, just for you, only concerned about your comp plan, your success, not the customers. You're selling to the customer for you. And that doesn't work either. That's not the place that you're going to be, because energetically, it's just like lying, cheating, overselling, manipulating. You're going to lose credibility because people are not going to understand the energy in which you are stimulating interest, transitioning, sharing a vision, managing, developing, and thriving. So finally, we want to live in a world of more than enough. And I'm going to share a story that a lot of you probably have heard about my dad, who, when I was 30 years old, hadn't given me a gift for 20 years. He had forgotten my birthday when I was 10. Lied to me and told me that he didn't forget my birthday. He just didn't believe in birthdays, even though he was giving my siblings, himself, his new wife, all birthday presents. And so for 20 years, I thought my dad was a liar, a cheater, manipulator, overseller, and back-end seller. Definitely not a closer. But he gave me this jacket to teach me about the world of more than enough. He told me, as I have behind me, money doesn't buy happiness, son. Money doesn't buy love, son. You need this jacket. And I opened it up and it had no pockets. And I was furious. I wasn't ready to hear that story that money doesn't buy happiness or love. I only understood he was punishing me. The jacket had no pockets because he wanted me to hang it in the closet to remind me that I live in a world of more than enough that comes through me, that I came here with no thing and I will leave here with no thing. And I will be buried in that jacket because I have nothing I can take with me. And that's where we shift the paradigm of selling from selling to get instead of getting to give. And we want to receive. And in order to do that, we have to understand how the process of selling works. The selling starts with asking, right? Throughout this property, you need to remember this process, that you are asking throughout the process. But in order to ask throughout the process, you need to know what you are asking for. And I use two series of questions at all time, whether you're stimulating interest, transitioning interest, sharing a vision, managing and develop that vision, or thriving. You need to ask, how you can be of service or value, but you also ask a series of questions of, do you know anyone that can help me? No matter what place you are, you're continually asking in person, on the phone, via email, and media, radio, print, TV, social media. You need to ask those two series of questions. Because what happens if we don't ask is we limit the amount of people that we get to ask. We limit the amount of people we can transition by not asking. We limit the amount of people we can share a vision with when we don't ask. We limit the amount of people that we're managing and developing the vision that we don't ask. And we manage the amount that we receive when we don't ask. You cannot out-ask the universe. You cannot ask the universe enough of times and the amount of times. You cannot ask big enough. Trust me. People's biggest problem is that they don't ask through the entire process and they continually limit themselves and diminish their capacity literally by math. You need to ask more and more and more. That's what creates the statistical success. It will relieve you of your talent. What does that mean? It will relieve you of your talent. That if maybe you're just starting off, I can be half as good of you if I'm asking twice as many times. I can be a quarter if I ask four times as many times. What if I'm asking throughout the process 10, 20, 30 times? I'm literally allowing myself to compete with less talent simply by understanding the two series of questions. And when we're asking those questions, you know, number one, we want to ask any questions to stimulate interest. We want the biggest pool with the most people to stimulate interest too. And that starts by understanding one rule of the open. In order to close, we want as many people as we can interested in what we're selling. Okay, as many people as we can, right? We know because it diminishes the capacity of our talent, it allows us to be better and better by asking more people. And it starts by looking for people with an open mind. That's why the critical question is, do you know anyone that can help me? Because most people start off in the negative. They start out with resistance, voids and shortages, obstacles, corrosion, interference between them and sharing a vision. And so they just assume, oh, they're a gatekeeper. Oh, they would never help me. Oh, they would hurt me. They're in it for themselves. They take this scarce to me world where they're the victim. And then why me? Why nobody wants what I want? Or a for me world. Well, they wouldn't help it because it's just for them. The same three worlds. If they lived in an abundant world, they would look upon everybody as somebody that was a sponsor or a power sponsor. What is the common denominator between a sponsor and a power sponsor? An open mind. By asking people, do you know anyone that can help me? You are qualifying whether or not they have an open mind. And statistically, you're killing it right at the start of stimulating interest by attracting people with open minds, because it takes 1,000 times more energy, money, resources to change somebody's vision that has a closed mind than it does an open mind. 1,000 times. You're already statistically so much more successful simply by qualifying people if they have an open mind or not. And remember, when we're stimulating interest in order to maximize the number of people so that we can have the most number of people close and the biggest opportunities close, when we're asking people with open minds, we want to only realize in stimulating interest, there's one person. That's to have them ask back. What do I mean by that? In person, we want them to ask us back. In the phone, we want them to call us back. In email, we want them to email us back. On social media, we want us to DM or message us back. They got to get back to us. And if you realize right now that the only reason that you try to stimulate interest, you have one objective, not to sell, not to share a vision, not to tell stories and oversell, back and sell, manipulate, lie and cheat, or whatever you're doing now, not to leave long 30-minute messages that you think are going to help you. It's simply get people to get back to you in person, on the phone, email, or social media. The only purpose of stimulating interest is to have them ask back, email back, call back, or DM or message you back. So make sure that you're focused strictly upon that, looking for open-minded people and asking them, do you know anyone that can help me? And as we maximize the capability of stimulating interest, the next step is to transition that interest from an open mind of not necessarily any details or features and benefits or capabilities that you have or any quantitative analysis or even some credibility, simply curiosity of an open mind to call you back, email back, DM you back, or ask you back. And if you do that, we second step need to transition interest. And how do we do that? Well, we have to follow up and ask back. And when we're sharing, whether it's collateral material, information, to build credibility and emotional attachment, people bound emotion for logical reasons, whatever it may be, we have to be effective with our time and efficient with our time. Because remember, we're dealing with people that are 1,000 times more likely to help us. And we're asking so many more times, and exponentially, everybody knows 1,000 more people than they used to know. Our numbers get extraordinarily large, so we can't waste time chasing. So I've instituted in the transitioning interest 3 no rule. And a 3 no rule is, if I get you to email me back, call me back, text me, DM me back, whatever it may be, and you have now transitioned interest in order to set up another call or look over my stuff, and I start to follow up, no matter what happens, if it doesn't work out, the follow-up, I mean, that's a no. So if I call and you don't answer and don't call me back, 1 no. If my car breaks down and I miss the call, that's a no. If I forget to make the call, that's a no. If you tell me you're busy, that's a no. After 3 no's in trying to transition interest from stimulating interest to a shared vision, after 3 no's of setting up phone calls and meetings and coffee or whatever you do with the efficacy of your time, after 3 times it not working out for any reason, universal reason, it doesn't matter, you're accountable or they're accountable, doesn't matter, you need to learn your transition of interest line. Obviously, this isn't the right place or the perfect time to do this. I have to attend to people that I am doing business with that have showed that interest. I apologize. But if you are interested, please call me back, email me back, DM me back, text me back, whatever it may be, whenever you're ready. 50% of the time when you walk away, 50% of the time you'll get that meeting to share a vision. And the other 50%, you'll never hear from them again. Even though you stimulated interest with an open mind, proved the power sponsor and sponsor, even though you tried 3 times and they set up a call, a meeting, a text, an email, etc., even though they were saying yes, 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 3 no's means no, walk away. 50% of the time you'll never hear from them again. Thank goodness. Thank goodness, because you're made by the people that say no to you in sales. Because I see so many people wasting all their time, emotion, energy, money on people that are never going to say yes. Why not go back after 1,000 times people with open minds? If the universe is telling you no, they're telling you no, not the right time, not the right place. Emotionally, my dog died, my cat got hungry, my flat tire happened, or on your side, the same thing happened. What's going on? Walk away. Tell them, hey, when you're ready, call me, but I'm going to move on. 50% of the time, it's going to move you forward. 50% of the time, the more valuable 50% of the time, never hear from them again. You will not be banging your head against a brick wall. Now, after you've stimulated interest with people with open minds, sponsors and power sponsors, transition those interests utilizing the 3 no rule, knowing how many times to follow up, having that certainty to stick to, having that statistical success that involves. Now we have to share a vision. Now we're selling. Right? Up until this point, you're not selling. You're creating curiosity with the specific goal of getting them to get back to you, email back, text back, call back, DM back, whatever it may be. Then you're using the 3 no rule to transition the interest to have this opportunity to sell. Selling is sharing a vision. That's all it is. And in order to sell, there's 5 things that you need to do in order to share a vision. 1, you need to, the best you can, show your credibility. I always say, if I'm 100% credible, I don't have to be anything else, because if I'm 100% credible, I could tell you all right now to wire me $1 million on Monday. I'll give you $2 million by the end of the year. Nobody asks any questions. They just wire the money because I'm 100% credible. So many people diminish their credibility by lying, overselling, exaggerating, upselling, whatever they're doing, and they don't realize that even though it's a small little manipulation, a small oversell, a factual incongruency, now the person goes from trusting you to vetting you. They go from trusting you to vetting you. Now you've created all types of void, shortages, obstacles, interference, and corrosion to the sales process because you went from trust to vet. So don't do it. Work within the context with a fine-tooth comb to have everything be credible, and then go ahead and get the emotional attachment. People buy on emotion for logical reasons. How and why do we get emotional attachment? In selling and closing, we just have to open and question. What are you doing today? And according to you, stimulating interest, transitioning interest with the correct collateral material and using the 3-no rule, you then can find out what they're doing today. And once again, what they like about it, what don't they like about it. Make yourself equal, then have them appreciate the difference of what you do. Make yourself equal to what they do today, and then have them appreciate the difference of what you do. That appreciation needs to be quantified. Appreciate the reasons that different quantifiably makes a difference. Quantify the impact that appreciation of the difference makes, and quantify the capabilities, the skills, the knowledge, and desire that appreciates the difference as well. So if you make yourself equal, then have them appreciate the difference according to a quantified value, you will have greater statistical success and be able to share a vision. But you are not done, because part of credibility is not conscious. Part of credibility is not conscious. What does that mean? That means that we carry an energy. And we need to carry an energy that we are providing more value than we're asking for. This creates trust and like. This creates a feel-good atmosphere when we're sharing a vision that everybody's winning. And it comes from an energetic state that sits within your subconscious and even your quantum memory, your unconscious. I practice my energy of value every day. I wake up every morning with 120 rule, 120 energy. What does that mean? That I'm taking a baseline of my energy every day, of how much value I'm providing and how much value I'm asking. How do I do that? During my meditation every day, not only do I pray to God for 10 people that I can help, but I also envision me lying in my room with bags of $100 bills and then me going out into the world, handing $100 bills to everybody and only asking for 20 back. And then I sit and feel what that feels like, so that I have a baseline for the day to know when my energy is not in that mode where people might feel the same way as when we're not credible and we oversell, back and sell, lie, cheat, manipulate. If we carry the wrong energy that we are overselling, underselling, back end selling, lying, manipulating, cheating someone, if we carry that energy, and it may just be because we're in an argument with our wife. You can't carry that energy because people cannot distinguish consciously why you have that energy. But there's something weird about that. I don't trust him. You're going to literally diminish your capacity to close. So make sure you practice the 121. I do it. Look, I went to a family function. I walk into this family function. My nephew, who hopefully I think is right, but adores me. He literally, when I walk in, he usually lights up, gives me a big hug. He looked right through me. My mom, who I know adores me and loves me too much, doesn't even recognize me. I immediately leave the room because I feel from that baseline that my energy is off and people are going to misinterpret my energy for something that is probably not. They're going to start seeking instead of trusting. They're going to vet my energy. Instead of trusting, they're going to vet. We want to stay in the trust zone, the like zone, not the vet zone. So I went outside, shifted my energy, went ahead and did a little visualization of handing everybody in my family $100 bills, getting $20 back from them. Everybody's loving that. So then I walk back in, and sure enough, my nephew lights up. My mom flips around in her chair, feels me come in. Now I know I'm carrying 120 energy, consciously, subconsciously, unconsciously. We are always closing in the respect that we are providing more value than we're asking for. It's that simple. If I told you right now, I use a pen example in my book, Connected to Goodness, which, by the way, I'm happy to send everyone for free. I'm happy to sign it, pay for shipping, send it to you. It talks about the pen value index in that book. I have guides, exercises, all of those are for free. If you want it, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. david@dmeltzer.com. I'll send everything to you. Here's the pen value index of the 120 rule. I can sell you a pen, a normal pen, for $1 million. And now I usually do this in big audiences and say, who here thinks I can sell you this little pen for $1 million? Nobody raises their hand. What if I offered you that pen for $1 million? Guaranteed you could sell it for $2 million, but would let you borrow $1 million at 0% interest. And I'd put $1 million in escrow in whoever you want's account. And at the end of the year, if you weren't able to sell this pen for $1 million with the $1 million that I let you borrow, I would release the $1 million and relieve you of your debt. Can you see any reason why you wouldn't want to buy the pen for $1 million? No. Why? Because it has more value than I'm asking for. And you're completely trustworthy of it and secured in it. Trust, not vet. Make sure that you literally are providing more and more value in that respect. Now, one of the other things that we talked about was asking through the whole process. Asking, do you know anyone that could help me? You got to ask for the sale. I know this sounds funny. I've had two different pitch shows, elevator pitch. Everybody can watch that. I am launching 2-Minute Drill on Bloomberg and across the country in multiple platforms, including Amazon now and Comcast, Reach TV. It's going to be extraordinary. And as I was piloting both shows and utilizing both shows, I can't believe that I've had two shows that deal with pitching and 33% or more of the people never ask. They never ask. You don't get unless you ask. You cannot ask big enough. You cannot ask often enough. You cannot ask enough. Ask, ask, ask. Ask, you know anybody can help me. Ask somebody, can you see any reason why you want to move forward? And if you have credibility, emotional attachment, and have been able to quantify the reasons, impacts, and capabilities, nobody will say no. And if we get to that point of closing where nobody says no, here's the best part, right? And come, anybody wants to practice this, look, $50,000 worth of prizes each episode. Come try out for a 2-Minute Drill. I'd love to have you on there. David@dmeltzer.com. It's easy. But you got to have the ability, the mindset to handle one word, and that's no. As much as you think you have 100% credibility, you'll never have it. I've never had it. As much as you think you may have unbelievable emotional attachment, that guy loves me. We've all been there. We can't understand why the deal didn't close. As much as you think that you've articulated the quantified reasons, impacts, and capability far beyond what you're asking for, it's not what you say, it's what they hear. So there's one thing you have to get into a mindset, a framework for. That's no. No. You got to learn how to have the 25 no rule, because the last thing you want to do is allow the acceleration, growth, the compound interest of no to build your future. So what I've done as a mindset tool is I've created a mindset of the 25 no rule, where if I receive no, I look for the lessons of where I lost them on credibility, emotional attachment, or my ability to articulate the quantification of reasons, impacts, and capabilities. But I know I'm just one more no from a yes. And I tell myself all the time, man, I'm only 25 no's from getting to where I want to be. So I'm excited on the second no. I'm excited and learn on the third no. I learn more on the fifth, the 10th. I'm the only guy who gets the 24th no and celebrates. And celebrates, because why? Because I'm only 25 no's from getting what I want. Jack Canfield, who I wrote Unstoppable, Creating the Life You Love, I'm happy to send that book to you for free as well. David@dmeltzer.com. Go ahead, just reach out. He was rejected for the greatest selling private book of all times over 120 times. 120 no's. He sold over 500 million of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Over 500 million. Next to the Bible is the most any book has ever sold. But yet he had the 25 no rule in his mind. He had the 125 no rule. You got to have the mindset that a no is just a lesson, right? It's a complete turn signal for you. I'm going to move in a different direction, a better direction. I'm going to find the yeses. I'm going to learn how to articulate my credibility, emotional attachment, and quantify the reasons, impacts, and capabilities. I'm going to learn this, and I'm going to keep on asking, more and more, bigger and better. I'm going to keep on asking. One of the other things is when you get a yes, keep on asking for more yeses. In a scarce world where things happen to you or for you, it was called the ringing towel theory. In a scarce world where you try to get the most out of somebody, you know, this negotiation, that's not it. This is about abundance. This is about you receiving and allowing to come through you for others. When you give $100 of value and ask for 20 back, you're giving an $80 net, right? You're giving. It's a form of giving. You're receiving so you can give. And this ringing towel theory, though, still applies in the philosophy of asking. So when someone says yes, keep asking for more. Allow them to feel good. Because look, everybody, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. That's more true than ever when you ask. There's so many things if you don't ask, they may be able to get mutual value from, but you never asked. Oh, you need it? I didn't know you needed that. I had that desk. You're going to help me out. Get it out of here. Get it out. Get it out. Really? Oh, thank goodness I asked. Oh, wow, that's a really nice... Oh yeah, we got to get this thing out of here. So many times we don't ask, keep asking it. Yes, keep asking. And then if you get no's, ask till you get three no's. Like a wringing towel, right? When a towel's wet, you wring it, water comes out, keep asking. Water comes out, water stops coming out, squeeze two more times, ask two more times. Then you know you've asked for enough, time to walk away. That's how we maximize the value for everyone, not just for you, right? Because when we're asking, there has to be some value for them. We're carrying 120 words. We're articulating, right? How to be equal and appreciate the difference. Trust, not vet. And that 25, that mindset. Now, when we get a yes, we have now we stimulated interest, transitioned interest, share a vision. The fourth step of selling through people, not to people, right? Remember, everybody now today knows a minimum of 1,000 people. Unlike when I was young, they knew 4 or 5 to play golf cards. We're in a church group or whatever it was. People on average know 1,000 people. So we sell through them so we can thrive. So we empower others to empower others to empower others. That's how we make multiples. That's how we compound interest. That's how we exponentially grow our pipeline and our sales and our closing. So we got to learn to manage and develop. Most people think when they close a deal, when they share a vision, that they're 80% there. Not even close. You're 20% there. Managing and developing that vision, selling through people, is 80% of it. And you need to have a go, no, go plan. I'm more than happy to send that to you as well. We have a go, no, go plan that manages the expectations of we're going to do this and we're going to agree upon it that you're satisfied. Then this at the beginning. And guess what? If you have a go, no, go plan, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. I'll send it to you for free. If you have a go, no, go plan, then you'll be able to capture the 80% that's the most difficult 80% of business of closing. Not stimulating interest. That's easy. You just got to find someone with an open mind and ask in person on the phone via email and social media. Get them to get back to you. 2, transitioning interest. Just got to remember the 3 no rule. Sharing a vision. Absolutely. Trust, vet, just have to be able to have credibility, emotional attachment, and quantify reasons, impacts, and capability. 80% of closing is one thing, collecting. And you efficiently, effectively will increase the ability to collect if you manage expectations and develop that vision, manage and develop the vision by having a go, no, go plan and doing what you say you do in a timely fashion, and you get a yes sign off each step of the way, including collecting the money, as was promised. 80% is collecting, 20% is closing. And if you do this, if you work into the world of abundance and you have the 120 energy and you walk around in an abundant attitude that there's enough of everything for everyone, and you keep asking through the process from stimulating interest to transitioning interest to sharing a vision, to managing and developing a vision. Ask, and understanding the positivity of yes and even the more value of no. And if you can do this and quantifiably show that 120 value, you will sell through people and you will thrive. You will, all of your customers are not only customers, they become your ambassadors, your salespeople. And since everybody knows on average 1,000 people, the compound interest and exponential growth that is witnessed and experienced today has never been seen before. And if you do this, I promise you, closing will be as easy as opening. And there'll be a lot more closures than openers when it comes to business. I appreciate everyone. Please remember, we all live in a world of abundance, of more than enough of everything for everyone. You can email me for any of these guides, exercises. Everything's available. We're going to take some Q&A for the next half an hour. So pump them up in there. I want to see some great questions. Leave them in the Q&A. We'll deal with those. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. You can also join my text community. A lot of this here, 949-298-2905, 949-298-2905. All right, let's open up. Let's open up here the Q&A. And we'll get going. Okie dokie, here we go. What is the best way to open a potential employer? So when we're opening a potential employer, we want to be able to stimulate interest. So the best way is to ask for a conversation. To why? To show your credibility, your emotional attachment, quantify the reasons, impacts, and capability. But more important, to ask open questions of how you can be of service or value. Because if you keep asking what they're looking for today, what they do today, what they like about it, what they don't like about it, you can utilize closed-ended questions in order to align it supplementary, synergistically with your capabilities, your skills that you have to provide 120 value, your knowledge of what and who to have 120 values. And you can utilize it to display that trust of one thing, the common denominator of all successful people, that you have the desire that you must be what you can be. So the best way to open a potential employer is to ask people in person, on the phone, via email and media, radio, print, and TV, do you know anyone that could help me? I'm looking for a job in, at, how, whatever, and ask. And then when you get in front of that person, ask again and keep on asking and keep on asking in person, on the phone, via email and media. Ask, ask, ask. You can't ask often enough. You can't ask big enough. You can't ask enough. I promise you, ask. That's how we open them up. And then you're able to do the rest by transitioning that interest and sharing a vision. Next question. How important is making an emotional connection for opening and closing? Well, the only emotional connection that you need for opening is curiosity, right? In order to get curiosity, you have to be curious. The better that and more you are, more interested than interesting, the better you're and better and more capable you are of getting people to ask back, email back, text back, message back, call back, whatever it is. That's the only key of opening, is get them to get back to you. Stimulate curiosity. That's the only part. Now, emotional connection is critical because people, they buy on emotion for logical reasons. You cannot share a vision without having an emotional connection, because that emotional connection invokes like and trust, and that the basics of sales, people in a variety of ways for years and years and years have been talking about how do we get trust and like. That is the emotional side. And the way to do that is to ask questions. Be more interested yourself. Find out what someone does today. Find out what they like about it, what don't they like about it. And then allow yourself to equal that, and then allow them to appreciate the differences that you bring with your skills, your knowledge, and desire. It's that simple. Keep it simple. Right? The KISS philosophy. Keep it simple and stupid and you'll be fine. So different emotional connections are necessary for opening and closing. Gigi, good morning. From across the world. What do you do when you become aware you are in a prison of your own making? Wow, we're going to go deep. Okay. I think everyone realizes where their prison is. A prison is somewhere that limits your ability to leave, to do something. This is a prison. So where does that lie? It lies within the context of your ego. It lies in the primary fears that you have and the secondary fears that you have. That is your prison. There's people that actually could be in prison and be freer than those people that go to a 9-to-5 job, by far. Because we have control of our mindset and our heart set. We have control of what we think, say, and do, and what we feel. And so when you become aware that you are in prison of your own making, then let's start utilizing the 5 daily practices in order to break out of that prison. Take inventory of your values, personal, experiential, giving and receiving values, so you know what you want. Ask and attract. We talked about that today, and stimulating interest, transitioning interest, sharing a vision, managing, develop a vision, and thriving by asking. Do you know anyone that can help me? And asking, do you know I could be of service or value? Be a student. Start to implement the magical mathematical equation of luck. Start paying attention to and giving intention to what you think, say, do, believe, and even the unconscious competencies of what your characteristics, personality traits, obsessions, and addictions are dictating in your life. And if you take the attention plus the intention, you'll start invoking the mathematical equation of luck. Coincidences will start happening. That's right. Attention plus intention equals the coincidences that you want. Freeing you once again from your self limitations or prison that you became aware of that you're making. Do things now. If you do things now, you'll be present. 100% of the things you do now get done. People who get things done are free. People that get things done are successful. People that get things done are happy. Get things done. Do it now. Ask yourself, according to the values that you took inventory at the beginning of the day, what's my priority? Can I do this now? If so, do it. If not, go study it tomorrow. Prioritize it tomorrow. And then finally, most importantly, identify those primary and secondary fears. The primary fears are Freud fears. You can look them up. The secondary fears, I have learned there's four steps. Number one, identify what you're afraid of. That will free you. The need to be right, the need to be offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, all of these different things imprison us. And if you become aware of it, then you can stop it. You can start breathing and put yourself to neutrality and roll. When you are in prison of your own making, you are on fire. When you are on fire, you need to stop, drop, and roll. It's that simple. When you become aware that you are in prison of your own making, take inventory of your values, ask and attract, be a student, evoke the mathematical equation of luck, do it now, and most importantly, practice ending fear by being a ferocious Buddha, being aware of it, identifying it, and then stop, drop, and roll. Put out that fire and free yourself from that prison. All right, next question. What do you do when you become aware that, sorry, it was a duplicate. Well, at least you know we're live. David@dmelzer.com, by the way, if you want any of these exercises, guides, my books for free, come and join me. All right. If you want to, if I talk fast, by the way, and answer these two fast, all the replays are available. Email me, David@dmelzer.com. Spotify's featuring it. They give a playbook of all my trainings. If you missed any, go back, go to Spotify. All my trainings are featured there. Entrepreneur features the playbook. It's on every platform if you want. Very easy to find. You can always email me, David@dmelzer.com. What's the worst pitch you've ever heard? That's easy. One that doesn't ask. The worst pitch. The worst pitch I ever heard, ask for nothing. I don't know what you want. What kind of pitch is that? You know, one of my favorite ones that wasn't asked from the elevator pitch. I love this guy. He literally just featured and benefited dumped in the elevator for 60 seconds. Features and benefits. Vapor. Lying, overselling, manipulating, cheating, you know, stuff like, oh, our revenue's up 300% since last year. Oh, evoking vetting. Why won't you just tell me how much revenue, you know, I made $2 million last year, $6 million. Oh, I'm interested. Here's my ask. This guy didn't ask for anything, feature and benefit dump. And guess what? Comes out of the elevator. It's the early days of elevator pitch when we use one elevator that had to walk past the judges that would open the doors. People would be frustrated or angry and blame, shame, justification for us as judges. And this guy just attacked me. Oh my God, you just made the worst decision of your life. I can tell you that a lot of people have told me that. And guess what? I've made many of the worst decisions of my life. So you're probably right. Because I don't know what I don't know. And it can't be the worst decision in my life if I learn a lesson. And it definitely isn't the worst decision in my life if you're right and make millions of dollars. Just because I'm left out doesn't make it the worst decision of my life. Losing $100 million is a pretty bad decision. But not making $100 million and you making $100 million, I'm connected to you. I live in a world of abundance. I pray for your happiness. That's a win for me. But anyway, this guy gets out, attacks me. And as he's attacking me, he's like, and I was going to give you 20% of the company, and we've done $2 million in revenue. And I said, whoa, that would have been nice to know in the elevator. All you did was feature and benefit dump. You never told us any value, quantitative value, and your attitude. I think Danica Patrick on that episode called him the D word. And, you know, just the worst. Anyway, make sure you ask. Make sure you have the 120 rule. Make sure you have credibility, emotional attachment, and can articulate the quantified reasons, impacts, and capabilities. All right. What are the personal characteristics of a great closer? So there's two kinds of closers. And this is in a variance change. At the one end of a closer is the eagles. The eagles are one who are born with a quantum memory to close. They can sell ice to Eskimos. I call them eagles because they naturally fly higher than any other bird. And then you have the journey person. The journey person is someone who follows the five to thrive, enjoys the consistent, persistent pursuit of their potential. They can outperform an eagle every day of the week. There's always the anomalies, you know, the Kobe Bryants, LeBron James, Magic Johnsons of the world that are born eagles and still have journeyman attitudes. Those are the dream ones. That's what I tried to be within sales, because I definitely wasn't that on the athletic side of things. I was a journeyman, an average Division III football player. But in the sales realm, I'm definitely born an Eagle and work as a journeyman. And I learned that journeyman attitude to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential on the field. And now I utilize it off the field and hopefully to motivate, transition, and inspire you to do the same. What is the best way to leave a voicemail? There we go. So when you call someone, which I am a big fan of calling people, I call people every day. Some of you may have been getting calls from me, because I will pick 5-10 people every day to personally call and talk to them, because I think it's the most powerful way and best way statistically to communicate. Go ahead, check how many emails you have, check how many DMs you have, and then check how many voice messages you have. I promise you, you are in a small pool if you're leaving messages. So first of all, when you call someone, you have to take a statistical view of your objective, because we're going to stimulate interest with a call most of the time. So one, they can answer. So be prepared to stimulate interest if they answer, right? In other words, get them to ask you back to transition interest to a shared vision. If they don't answer, that's when we leave a voicemail. There's only one person, only one purpose of a voicemail, in my opinion, unless you're calling your mother-in-law. There's only one purpose: to get them to call you back. But yet I have so many people that try to sell on a voicemail. I've never seen anyone buy on a voicemail. I've never even seen a vision shared on a voicemail. Very rarely when someone's selling on a voicemail, we even stimulate interest. You'll usually get hung up on. If you understand the only purpose of a voicemail is to get the person to call you back, your whole life will change, not only the amount of time that you spend leaving voicemails, but how you leave it. Just stimulate interest to get them to call you back. That's how you do it, by providing 120 value of curiosity. Hi, this is Dave Meltzer. I got a quick question to ask you. 858-688-3294. Hi, this is Dave Meltzer. I need 1 minute of your time. Please call me back. 858-688-3294. That's my actual cell phone number. Let's see how many people actually use it. Please ask. What's the most important aspect of sales? The most important aspect of sales, value. 120 rules. The most important aspect of sales is managing the belt division. 80% of it is collecting and managing a go-no-go plan, which I'll send you for free, david@dmeltzer.com. And go ahead. That's the most important aspect, is how you manage and develop, because that allows you to sell through people. And if you want to compound interest, exponential growth, and acceleration in your business or in your life, you have to sell and share a vision through people. Not two people or four people, through people. And you can only do that if you manage and develop that 80%. How do you get out of bed in the morning? Well, the number one way to get out of the bed in the morning is understanding the 8-mile rule. I'm not talking about Eminem. All right, 8-mile rule. If I was going to tell you that we're going to go run 8 miles, what would you tell me you wanted to do first? You would tell me you wanted to warm up, right? You want to warm up, you want to stretch, want to get warm. You're not going to go just run 8 miles, right? You get ready to go. Well, why is it when we go to sleep, what is the warm up to sleep? A wind down routine is the warm up of sleep. And every day we get asked to go sleep 8 hours. That's right, running 8 miles, for me at least. And what do? We just go ahead and think that, boom, we're gonna fall asleep. No, my tomorrow starts today. I get out of bed in the morning because I start with an unwinding routine at 9 p.m. every night to make sure that I'm mentally in that mindset, heart set, physically, right? No caffeine, alcohol, no stress, negativity, all those things. I'm not going to load that into my subconscious and unconscious mind before I get ready to wake up tomorrow morning. I get out of the bed in the morning because I don't live the myth of Sisyphus. I'm not just pushing a boulder up to the top of the hill all day to start over the next morning at the bottom of the hill, wondering why I'm too tired to push that rock again, right? Because it ain't even moving. We all know the first 10 minutes suck. So if the first 10 minutes of everything sucks, why the heck do I think getting out of bed is going to be any different? The only way I make it different is to start my tomorrow today at 9 o'clock with a warm-up, an unwinding routine that allows me to plateau and grow, find my highest frequency so that when I wake up, I'm in a better, in a different frequency, excited to start my day, praying to God for 10 people that I can help at least. utilizing a visualization of the 120 rule, meditating, utilizing the ability to get what I want by asking the big universe big enough and keep on expanding and accelerating what I want, not what other people want for me, and definitely what I don't want. If you can't get out of the bed in the morning and you're focusing on the wrong thing, you should be excited. I am excited to wake up. And I understand that's motivating because I know the first 10 minutes of anything suck. I go ahead and tell myself the only way I'm going to do this is to be motivated, transition that into inspiration through meditation, finding my higher frequency, plateauing and growing. But it's not going to start with the alarm going off. It's going to start at 9 o'clock for me the day before. Your tomorrow starts today. If you have trouble getting out of the bed in the morning, see what you're doing the night before and change it. Change the way you look at things. The things you will look at change, especially about getting up. Motivation will get you up, get you out of bed, get you restarted, get you back up. But inspiration will get you through the day. You got to have both. How do you use this in text message? I'm an insurance agent and I text leads we receive. How do you use this in the text message? I'm an insurance agent and I text leads we receive. Okay. So if you are receiving leads and you text them, which I don't suggest, I say if you got the phone number, call them. You want to stimulate interest. If you're going to text them, you only have one goal in mind. Get them to text you back. Get them to text you back. That's the only objective. So whatever you're going to text, you know, hey, this is Antonio. Please call me. That evokes curiosity. Hey, this is Antonio. I'm calling you about your insurance. Call me. Hey, this is Antonio. Something. But whatever statistically successful that gets them to text you back, then you can transition interest. Next. David. You mentioned you went to Bob Proctor for mentorship. I'm blessed to multiple times speak with Bob Proctor and receive his mentorship. What made you choose Proctor and what were the biggest takeaways as a result of the mentorship? Well, I'm a student of Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. I look for the people who sit in the situation that I want to be in and have utilized the same methodologies that I believe in, but have enhanced them to a different degree. The easiest way to get to where you want to be is to ask somebody that's there for directions. Bob Proctor, at 80 years old, was there. And I wanted to ask Bob for the directions utilizing the same maps that he used and wanted to make sure I was using the right map and using the right directions and using the right gas and using the right car. All the different things that he used, and I asked for his help. And Bob Proctor not only is a mentor, but became a friend and a business associate because I asked him for directions where he was. He changed my life. At 80 years old, I was there. He was speaking on his birthday. And at the time, I had rebuilt all that I had lost and sat there going, man, my wife wants me to retire, wants me to travel around the world, and I can't do that. I need activity I get paid for in my life. I need to stay in the process and pursuit of the enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential. How can I do this? And there he was at 80 years old, speaking on stage, getting paid to speak on stage, inspiring, empowering, and impacting people at the greatest resorts in the world, paid for by them, the greatest food company, inspiration, writing books. And I said, wow, Bob Proctor sits in a situation I want to be in. My wife could travel with me. I can have activity I get paid for. I can empower over 1 billion people to be happy. So I went up to Bob and asked him, can you help me? Do you know anyone that can help me? I'm looking to do and be a great motivator, inspirer. I'm looking to write books that will change the world and speak on stages to change the world and create content to change the world. I'm looking to empower others to be happy. I'm looking for 1,000 people that I can find, like everyone on here today, that will find another 1,000 to find another 1,000. Will you help me? He said, absolutely. That's how it all happened. Find someone that sits in the situation you want to be in and ask them how they got there and ask them for your help getting there or if they know someone that can help you. What's the most effective way to get through the gatekeeper and into the decision maker? First of all, the best way to get through a gatekeeper is to realize there's no gatekeeper. Get your mindset and your heart set. There's only power sponsors and sponsors. That's all. There's only people that know someone that can help you or that can help you themselves and know someone that can help you. Stop thinking that everyone's trying to stop you. They are not stop signs. They are turn signals. They're pushing you in a better position, a better place, a better situation. That's all they're doing. They are not gatekeepers. You are accountable for the way they are reacting to you because you're treating them that way. You get what you want. Stop electing into your life gatekeepers when you can elect into your life sponsors and power sponsors, the coincidences that you want. That will open the gate, right? You can go ahead. Look, huge walls in front of me. You can dream all you want. You can run around the huge wall. You can spend your time going over the wall, digging under the wall, or you can just find the key and open the door right to the decision maker with somebody supporting you, helping you, and sponsoring you or power sponsoring you. You can do that. It's all up here. Everybody's a sponsor and power sponsor. That is how you do it. If you can utilize someone by asking them for help, making you an investment of theirs, by asking, do you know anyone that can help me, and articulating the credibility, emotional attachment, quantifying and articulating the quantification of the reasons, impacts, and capabilities, so you can see there can be no reason why you won't want to move forward. They're going to move forward in your direction with your help. All right, next question. Cold call, email, or face-to-face, what's best? Depends on the person. Depends on the time. Time in person, right? We want to make sure some people you'll never meet face-to-face, so email may be the best thing. Cold call, if I don't know the person and the only thing I have is his phone number, cold call. Look for statistical success. Use your simple common sense to say, this is statistically the best way I can get a hold of this person. And then stimulate interest. If it's a cold call, get them to call you back. If it's an email, get them to email back. If it's a face-to-face, get them to ask you back. Okay? Next question. What do you believe is the best way to generate leads with social media today? Simple. Empower people with value. Ask and attract. Ask and attract. So go ahead, ask people, do you know anyone can help me? Go ahead, create value for people to ask you to help them. Create the ask and attract in social media, but be consistent. The biggest problem with social media is people don't realize that it has to be the most consistent of all. Because you don't know, there's so many more people. It's direct access to 4.4 billion people. And you think that because you posted three times this week that everyone's sick of you. Nobody remembers you and they don't remember what you said. You better be posting as much as possible. Until one person in your life that loves you or likes you or doesn't like you or hates you says one thing to you about being annoying because you post too much, you haven't even hit the bottom of what you should be doing. You got to be consistent and persistent. You have to, in order to generate leads via social media, build a community. The only way to build a community is to find your frequency, strengthen your signal, understand who the spectrum of people that are. Like my favorite example, the Dr. Pimple Popper. She has more subscribers than the entire Pro Football Hall of Fame because she knows her frequency and her spectrum, and she has a very clear message of what she does. You can only do that if you consistently, persistently post whatever it is, and be of value and service and ask. That's the key right there. When it comes to advertising on social media, how many times would you recommend we post on our personal pages about our product? Would it be overwhelming for the audience if I posted a few times a day about my product? Don't want to seem like a nuisance. Well, it applies exactly to what I was saying before, but I think I'd be less obsequious about just posting about your product. Why don't you poke about the reasons? Why don't you post about the impact? Why don't you post about the capabilities, the skills, the knowledge, the desire of people? Why don't you post testimonials? Why don't you post, you know, circumstantial things, stories, lessons that somehow attract people to understand or want to learn more, stimulate interest about your product? And three times is probably not enough. I would post more if you can. After one, I'll think about it. Send me an email with some more info. Is it okay just to call them and ask them for some more info about how they feel? Or is that too pushy? Absolutely, it's okay. Absolutely, it's okay. It's fine. And you just have to be gracious and diplomatic enough, not apologetic, gracious and diplomatic. Thank you for your time. Don't say, I'm sorry, I didn't want to bother you. I know you're busy. These are all negative voids, shortages, obstacles, and resistance. Thank you for your time. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for following up. Thank you for the 1 minute. I just wanted to ask you if what you liked about what I said. Oh, I haven't had time to talk. Oh, can I quickly go over it with you? Does that sound fair? Remember, everybody likes that line, does that sound fair? Fairness is an amazing energy. You know, I know when we're parents and our kids say, Dad, that's not fair. You say, oh, the only fair, you know, only fair I know is pigs and horses and Ferris wheels down in Del Mar. But people like, does that sound fair? Start using it. It's in my Connected to Goodness book, which, by the way, with the exercises, guides, my books, I will send you for free. I'll sign it, ship it to you. I don't care. Go ahead, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Please reach out. How do you know what are good questions to ask? Any question that's open-ended that you can learn about the person as a lead-in to ask closing questions that align you, supplementary or synergistic, with the capabilities that you have is a good question. Anything that evokes curiosity is a good question. Anything that illustrates credibility or emotional attachment is a good question. There's very few questions that are not good questions if they're open-ended or leading in the construct of aligning people with your synergistic and supplementary values and capabilities. You can do this, I promise you. I am, by the way, I am going to, number one, start a private sales group. I'm going to start it in November. We're going to start taking signups right away. So go ahead and email me if you're interested in private sales group, david@dmeltzer.com. Please email me if you're interested in that. Here we go. If you want to go back and listen, it's on featured on Spotify, Entrepreneur, The Playbook, every platform. Go ahead. You can get to the exercises guides all through my email, david@dmeltzer.com. How much time we have to wait from the time we open to close? Oh, as fast as you can, right? As fast as you can, right? I want a double amount of money I make as fast as I can. Put no limitations on you. As fast as you can. As long as you create a go, no-go plan that's accommodating and aligned with the person's expectations, remember, everybody has different timing and risk tolerance. So we don't have set times. We don't have those. So that's why I created the 3 no rule, the 25 no rule, 120 value rule. All of those things allow the universe to say this. In the sale, you're at the right place at the perfect time. You're supposed to angle towards what you want and have faith that you'll end up somewhere better. And you're going to allow it to happen. You're going to be persistent and consistent in your follow-up, but you're going to allow it to happen at the right way at the perfect time, the same way you are in the right way at the perfect time. What are your favorite authors regarding emotional awareness and personal growth? I like The Alter Ego Effect. It's a great book by Herman. I like A Course in Miracles, Wayne Dyer, Power of Intention. Those are some of my favorites. Check them out. And Connected to Goodness by me is a good one to read as well. How do you make fast decisions? Know your and take inventory of your values. People who make fast decisions know their non-negotiable personal values. They know their experiential values for the day. They know their giving values of what value they have and will give. And two, their receiving values. For example, I predetermine my giving every single year percentage-wise. I don't have to think about it. I know exactly what percent I'm going to give through me to others. I get zero. It all comes through me for others. I know that percentage, and I'm going to use my values every day to either alter or change it, but most of the time reassess it. All right, as we come to a close here, next week I'm going to do a free public coaching session. That means BYOQ, bring your own questions. I'll bring the answer. It is a free private coaching session for everyone. Any questions you want to bring, and it's at 6 a.m. Pacific time. I'm going to an extraordinary Indian wedding, and I will be at the wedding on Friday when it's 11 a.m. Pacific. So 6 a.m. A lot of you will not make this, but the replay will be featured on Spotify. The replay will be there. I have a playlist that's featured on Spotify for all of my trainings, and you still can get the exercises, guides, and books for free if you email me at david@dmeltzer.com. You can join our new private sales group starts in November. Just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. You can join my text community, 949-298-2905. Everybody got that? david@dmeltzer.com if you don't got anything, or go to Spotify or Entrepreneur or any platform to re-listen to this and get the exercise guides books for free, david@dmeltzer.com. But most importantly, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Thank you, everyone, so much. We'll see you next week. Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.